And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. Hope that you all are staying safe, doing what you need to do to address this pandemic, but at the same time still enjoying life and still trusting in God for your safety, your security, and praying, I trust, for our country, because we really do need prayer to lift not only the scourge of the coronavirus, but to lift the scourge of hysteria and fear that has gripped our country. But you know what, folks? I see the signs that the American people, as always, in their frankly unparalleled collective wisdom, are starting to wake up and say, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Something is not quite right. And so today we see protests in Ohio and Michigan at the capitals there in those states opposing their governor's so-called shutdown orders. Now, you all heard from Matt Staver yesterday on the radio program saying that these orders are by definition unconstitutional because in most cases these governors and mayors simply don't have the authority to do what they're doing. They don't have the authority. They're just standing up and declaring as if we're a nation that lives by some sort of governmental edict. We don't. We're a nation of laws and not of men. And there's a process, due process, according to the 14th Amendment, that is required in order to deprive people of their liberty. And part of what the Michiganders are upset about is, and I think in Ohio too, the vast overreach. I think in Michigan, the governors actually said you cannot talk or meet with family members. You cannot associate with family members. And people are saying, wait a minute, are you nuts? What is wrong with you? You know, the government can't order you not to see your own family. What's wrong with these people? And I guess they've just had it. So they're doing something, I think they're calling it Operation Gridlock, which they're driving to the Capitol. So they'll be in their cars, but they are flooding the Capitol to make a statement that this has got to stop. And folks, as you all know, I have been saying it. Can't speak for everybody, obviously, because different hosts on the network have taken different approaches to this. I think we're in fundamental agreement, of course, that our First Amendment rights must be defended. But I've taken the position, both as a former practicing attorney, as well as a pastor, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the very beginning, that we were witnessing vast government overreach. And I think now a lot of people are beginning to say, you know what? Yeah, we that's exactly what we're witnessing here. Now, look, let's look at the data and remind ourselves of something. I've said, look, this is a real virus and it has real impact on people and we ought to take it seriously. Now, taking it seriously doesn't mean responding with hysteria, but yes, we should take it seriously. And I've said, you know, and by the way, folks, I think we should all admit we don't know that social distancing really helps. We don't really know, but it's the best we know right now. And so, yes, I don't disagree with it. I'm not disputing it. I think we're going to find out a lot of things in the aftermath that we think we know now. We're going to find out that they're simply wrong. But let's look at the numbers as they are. 610,774 cases confirmed in the United States as of today. Folks, we had 61 million cases of the swine flu. 61 million. Million. We have had 26,059 deaths as of today. 26,059 deaths. Now, the swine flu only had 18,000. However, and this is what we're not told, you know, the swine flu continued to infect people and now has become part of the seasonal flu atmosphere. Did you know that? Yes, the swine flu is one of the seasonal flus that is out there that people contract. And by the way, it continues to kill. And I think I told you that the number right now is 24,000, but that number is not complete because the reporting, which The flu season period ends on March 21st, or ended on March 21st. So the reporting continues to come in for several weeks, maybe several months after that. So before we get a clear picture of just what the seasonal flu did this year. But here's the other thing I would say. That 26,059 deaths, folks, I am absolutely convinced of this. That's an inflated number. It is an inflated number. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Now, I read a piece in Media Matters today basically accusing people like me of simply trying to defend the president's mishandling of this, and we want to lower the number of deaths because we want to protect and defend the president. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Certainly not from my perspective. You know what it has to do with? A desire to know the truth. Truth. Truth matters. No matter which way it cuts, it matters. If the truth helps the president, fine. If the truth does not help the president, you know, he's a big man. He can handle it. But I've talked to several medical experts now, and I'm absolutely convinced that these numbers are inflated, because they're telling me that they are including as a coronavirus death any person who dies who happens to have the coronavirus when they die. So if a person dies of a heart attack, or a person dies of a stroke, or a person dies of cancer even, and they have the coronavirus, which they could very easily have, their immune systems are already compromised, then it is counted as a coronavirus death. And one doctor said to me, I know that that's not necessarily, you know, accurate, and some doctors might disagree, but that's the medical consensus. That's the way it's being handled right now. And folks, that's giving us an inflated number. And I'll give you a perfect example. Bishop Glenn of Richmond, Virginia, just passed away. I just read the news, I think this morning. He was not a close friend of mine or anything, but I did know him, met him, talked to him on more than one occasion. He and I had a mutual relationship with the Virginia Family Foundation. He had been a kind of chaplain for them, and when he stopped, I took over. I know Bishop Glenn. I mean, I knew Bishop Glenn. And folks, what the story, he was 66 years old when he died, by the way. So young man. What the story does not tell you is he was very, very sick. He had been very, very sick for a number of years. When I met him, he was sick. He was walking on a cane. Now, maybe he had some sort of improvement, but every time I saw him, it was clear that he was suffering from some sort of chronic illness. Now, I didn't know him well enough to know exactly what was going on. But, you know, they act like he's a perfectly healthy 66-year-old man. He got coronavirus and keeled over. That's the way they're telling the story. To once again, inspire fear in all of us. The fact of the matter is, folks, the swine flu had a profound impact on people under 65, which in some ways, you know, people might consider to be more serious, because, you know, you figure it's going to start killing off young people and relatively healthy people. That's a major problem. This particular disease is affecting primarily people over 65 and people with compromised immune systems due to underlying causes or preconditions, or what's being now referred to as comorbidities. Not that the death of an elderly person is not serious. Of course it is. And it matters, because we love our relatives. We love our mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, and we don't love them any less because they're elderly. But we need to be told the facts about how this thing is proceeding, and we're not. We're being given, I think, selected information for the purpose of instilling fear. And it looks like the people of Michigan and Ohio have had it. And you know who else has had it? I think the people of Virginia have had it with this pretender to the governor's mansion that was once sat in by Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry. Ralph Northam needs to go. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
We are told by medical experts and politicians that we have to set aside many of our constitutional rights during the lockdown in order to keep people safe. And we're assured that this sacrifice of our freedoms is only temporary. But are we setting a precedent? Who would have predicted that a virus would become the justification for some governors and mayors to lay siege to our civil liberties? 6 months ago, if I told you that political leaders would close down nearly every church service, even on Easter, and close down huge sectors of our society, would you believe it? Even many of the most dedicated preppers would have had difficulty believing it, yet here we are. A retired UK Supreme Court justice explained his concern. The real problem is that when human societies lose their freedom, it's not usually because tyrants have taken it away. It's usually because people willingly surrender their freedom in return for protection against some external threat. And the threat is usually a real threat, but usually exaggerated. The other side of that equation is also disturbing. Not only do citizens willingly give up their freedoms, but governments are traditionally reluctant to give up power once that was granted to them during a crisis. Once we give government leaders power, they find it hard to return to the previous status quo. Some of the worst threats to freedom can be seen in other countries when government leaders implement the most draconian rules and regulations. America's dedication to limited government and federalism have provided some protection against such action so far. But let's remember that we have had some governors and mayors threaten to permanently close down churches, gun stores, and a number of other establishments. That's why we need to make sure we aren't setting a precedent during this pandemic crisis. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
It said that a knight was once riding into battle on his horse. He looked down and noticed that his legs were shaking. "Shake, will you," he said. "You would shake a lot more if you knew where I was going to take you today." Are you scared sometimes? Me too. I suspect that if I knew the future, my legs would shake a lot more. But it's okay. Because we don't ride a horse into the future. We walk with a king who created the future and promised to walk with us. I'm still afraid sometimes, but it's doable when you have friends in high places. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Brian Fisher here. The Talking Snake media would rather let people die than give President Trump credit for anything. Governor Cuomo refuses to give God any credit for our progress against coronavirus. While the nation moves toward reopening, Michigan's Democrat governor tightens the screws. And Trump defunds the World Health Organization. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, in the midst of all this, life continues to go on, and there are people who are serving our communities in a variety of ways, and we here at AFR like to recognize the work that they are doing because, frankly, reality doesn't get suspended in the midst of a pandemic. I think we need to get some of these local officials to understand that. Life doesn't get suspended. It must go on. And my guest right now is someone who is helping mothers who are, frankly, facing unexpected pregnancies, deliveries to go on. It's called the Special Delivery Project. My guest is Brad Mattis. Hey, Brad, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. It's nice to be with you today.
Well, Brad, tell us about Special Delivery, the Special Delivery Project. What exactly do you guys do?
Well, the thing is many people would love to help those who are greatly impacted by this pandemic, but they just don't know how. So we've come up with the idea of Special Delivery. We've teamed up with Heartbeat International. It's an umbrella group that provides, you know, training and other assistance to thousands of pregnancy resource centers. They also have an organization called Option Line. It's a 24/7 phone service to help women and men who call in with a crisis pregnancy, and then they assist the pregnancy answering phones with the pregnancy centers after hours. You know, women facing an unexpected pregnancy, you often have a tough time just making ends meet under the best of circumstances. And now that some of the government agencies that they so highly depend upon are closed due to the pandemic, they're in even a worse and desperate situation. And Option Line has experienced a higher than 40% higher increased call volume in recent weeks, which reflects all of this that I've just mentioned. So what we've done is developed this program, Special Delivery. You can go to our website at lifeissues.org, and click on the latest sign on the homepage there, and that'll take you all to the details of Special Delivery. Now, when you click on a special Option Line link, you can put in your zip code, and that will pop up centers near you, pregnancy resource centers, pro-life centers that offers life and hope instead of death and abortion. You call one of those centers and ask them if they have an Amazon wish list or some other online wish list which they use to help women and men in need. And when they give you a link to that, you can go online and do shopping from the safety and comfort of your own home. And then those products that you selected and in the number you've selected will automatically be sent to that particular center. It's such an easy thing to do. Many, many people would be very happy to help out women and men in crisis and their babies if they just knew something was available. And that's why we put this together, and that's why we want to get the word out. And so thankful for you, Bishop Jackson, for bringing attention to this effort.
Well, Brad, I'm happy to, because I know at a time like this where women are facing a pregnancy and maybe they're struggling with whether to keep their baby, and we know that abortion providers are still continuing to perform abortions, and we don't want the fact that women are isolated and hunkered down to end up contributing to them making the wrong decision. So this is a tremendous service. What do you need from our audience? What's the best way they can help? Is it to contribute, or is there anything else that you can use?
Well, what would really be helpful if they would get their church involved, and there are so many good people who I say want help that just need to be informed. So if you can get your church involved at a time when normal activity is at a lull for the most part, that would be such a help. You can put this link, the special link, on your distribute it through your email list. You can do postings on social media, anything and everything where we can just get the word out about Special Delivery so that the women and their babies can get the help that they so desperately need.
And now people can connect to that through the website then, correct?
Right. They need to go to lifeissues.org, and click on that homepage. There's information called The Latest, and that will take them to all the details and more that I've relayed in this interview. And there is a special link to Option Line that will facilitate getting them to the nearest pregnancy resource center.
Because we have a pro-life ministry in our church, and so the people who run that, I could have them go to that website, lifeissues.org, correct?
Right. That would be perfect. And just imagine how many people could be mobilized to provide assistance. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us as Christians to be the hands and feet of Christ.
Sure, because people are at home, and to be able to continue to minister in this way is really turning a curse into a blessing in a sense, and everybody ought to want to take advantage of that, because here again, life doesn't stop in the middle of a pandemic, and the need to save these unborn babies and to help these mothers who are struggling with difficult decisions under a lot of pressure, and maybe now even worse, the pressure of isolation. Anything that we can do to help, I think, is going to be very, very much appreciated by them. And more importantly, I think really smiled on by God, that we don't quit when things get rough. We keep going and trying to do the work of Jesus. So Brad, that is absolutely great. The website, again, is lifeissues.org, and they should go to The Latest. That's the
link for The Latest. And, you know, working against women and their babies is fear. And Satan uses fear to encourage women to choose abortion. This is something that we can help dispel that fear, to help give them comfort and encouragement that we are with them, we love them both, and we'll be there for them.
Amen. Well, Brad, that's what everybody needs, and particularly at a time like this. And you're seeing the same statistics I'm seeing, that suicide rates are up, and depression and all kinds of psychological problems that people are having who might have already been on the edge, but now this pressure and anxiety in society has kind of pushed people over the edge. So this is really a time to be showing compassion and trying to help people who, as I've said before, under these kinds of circumstances could very easily make a decision they'll regret for the rest of their lives. So yeah, I'm so glad you're doing this. Thank you for it. I'm going to have our pro-life people go onto the website and plug in with you guys and help in any way we can, Brad. God bless you. Thank you so much for taking time to share this with us.
Thank you. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
It's my pleasure. God bless you. Yeah, folks, we're going to keep serving you, and we're going to keep serving the American people, and we're going to keep serving God. And that's why I wanted to have Brad on, because I just think that's the kind of message people need to hear. You know, you can't lock a heart away that is sold out to Jesus. and you can't stop us from doing what God has called us to do. And we should all be encouraged not to let anything stop us from doing what God has called us to do. So you've heard the information, folks. It's lifeissues.org. Go to click on the link, the latest, and that'll plug you in to what they're doing and ways in which you can help from the comfort of your own home. Well, look, I'm going to start taking calls in the next segment. A couple of other things I want to mention to you, but you all know that we are in it's an unprecedented situation. And the work that Brad is doing is just another indication of how people innovate and adjust and do what needs to be done, even in the face of all of this. But folks, this stuff has got to come to an end. I mean, we've got to stop this. It's just got to stop, because I think we are. You talk about the fundamental transformation of our country. Well, you've got the left using this to try to fundamentally transform America. And by the way, you know, when you hear these cries that you can't open up, you can't get the economy going down, and this, that, and the other. How many cases of swine flu we had in America in 2009? 61 million. 61 million, folks. And you know, we're being told to essentially to panic. We've got 610,000 cases of coronavirus. We had 61 million, 100 times more. And we didn't panic, and we didn't shut anything down. I read an article recently that said that because children are pretty much immune to this, we didn't know that at first. We know this now, but children are pretty much immune to this, that closing down the schools was exactly the wrong thing to do, because the children, because they are very resistant to it, could be exposed, build up the antibodies, and create what's called herd immunity, which is what has to happen anytime something like this breaks out. You need herd immunity. You need people developing resistance and antibodies and physical mechanisms within their own bodies for resisting this stuff. And by shutting everything down and creating social distancing, I know we had one guest on who said, you know, I shake hands with everybody I can, and I got a lot of flack for that one. And you may or may not agree with that, but the point he was making was, we've got to learn to build up our immune systems, not just wait for vaccines. So folks, there's a lot of stuff about this that we need to begin to debate and talk about more openly than we have in the last month or so. And we'll be back to continue doing that in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Is there something you wish to accomplish? Is there some great goal, some high ambition that looms out before you, calling you to it? Well, you can do it. you can accomplish whatever it is that you wish to accomplish. Nothing you wish to accomplish, if it's in keeping with God's will, is impossible. With Him, all things are possible. And many people are surprised to learn that He wants us to accomplish our highest ambitions. If you wish to accomplish something, make sure it's in keeping with God's will. Then, turn yourself over to Him and become the instrument through which He can accomplish whatever it is that the two of you wish to accomplish. Commit everything you do to the Lord, said the psalmist. Trust Him to help you do it, and He will. But you must not only believe in God, you must also believe in yourself. If you don't believe you can accomplish it, then the chances of your accomplishing it are mighty small. But if you believe it is God's will and you can do it, then the world can't keep the two of you from accomplishing it. God has said, everything is possible for him who has faith. Faith includes a belief in yourself. What a person accomplishes in life depends on what he believes he can accomplish. A little Jewish tent maker once said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know, that's a powerful creed for a person to live by. I personally believe it's true. I think I can accomplish things that would otherwise be impossible because of the strength I gain from the Galilean carpenter. But let us remember that there's a vast difference between cocky egotism and humble self-confidence. Egotism is when God is left out. Humble self-confidence is when God is your partner. If we wish to accomplish anything, then one thing we must learn to do and do often, work. There is absolutely no substitute for hard, diligent work. You know, genius is 90% hard work and 10% natural ability. Some folks wish to work for 45 minutes and get paid for 2 hours, but life doesn't operate that way. Life pays us only for the time we put in. A person reaps what he sows. Hard work means prosperity, said a wise king long ago. Only a fool idles away his time. On another occasion, he said, do you know a hard-working man? He shall be successful and stand before kings. One other thing is necessary if you wish to accomplish a great goal. Keep working at it. When obstacles come, double in your belt. Take a dose of self-confidence medicine. Ask God to help you and go at it again. Be prepared for temporary setbacks. They're going to come. Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but he also struck out 1,330 times. God wants us to accomplish much in life, and with His help, we can.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, first, folks, let me clarify something, because my first listener, which is my lovely wife, texted me and said that it referred to me referring to folks in our church who coordinate our pro-life activities as my pro-life people. But, you know, I want you all to know, my wife didn't let me get away with anything. I want you all to know, we are a pro-life church. Everybody's pro-life in our church, but we have a family in our church that is responsible for kind of making sure that we are aware of the pro-life activities that are going on and giving everybody an opportunity to participate in that and get involved in the life marches and support our crisis pregnancy centers and that sort of thing. So darling, I hope that satisfies you. And, you know, I just had Randy Lucius, who is my producer, say to me that he has it on good authority that there are a lot of hospitals that are laying people off because of the downturn in, you know, some of the services that they have been providing. And, you know, we were told that the hospitals were being overrun. Well, if the hospitals are being overrun, how is it that you are able and find it necessary to lay people off? Well, I'll tell you exactly what's happening. they thought the hospital was going to be overrun. But a lot of people who had various tests and visits to the hospital that could be postponed have done just that. I've done it myself. I mean, why go into an environment that you know is likely to be a higher risk circumstance? So all of these predictions that we had are now coming under question. You know, we got the Javits Center, the Jacob Javits Center in New York, empty. We've got the ship Comfort, empty. We were told we needed all these ventilators. They're not being used. So there's just been a lot of information that we have been given that is now proving to be inaccurate. And folks, telling people, apparently in Michigan, that you can't buy a flag and you can't buy certain kinds of seeds, but you can buy something else. You know what that really says to me? We have people in our country, unfortunately, and some of them run for office. Folks having run for office, I'm going to tell you, politics attracts some very venal, self-absorbed, ambitious, dangerous people. And you get people like this governor of Michigan who want to literally micromanage everybody's life. This is their dream. Their dream is to be a little totalitarian dictator. That's what they really want. And you put them in a circumstance in which they can do it, and out pops the little Pol Pot, the little Mao, the little Stalin. You see, because, folks, you may have never heard me say this before, but this is one of those quotes that God really just laid in my heart, and I have never let it go, and I've seen it prove itself again and again. Crisis doesn't create character. It reveals character. Watch how people behave in a crisis, and you'll find out who they really are. The number's 888-589-8840. You all are already calling, so rather, I've got a number of other things I want to bring up with you, but I tell you what, let's get to your calls because I want to hear what you all have to say. Hey, any news you all have to report, any insights you've got, anything going on in your family, in your state, in your locality, and particularly any encroachments on your constitutional liberties on a personal level that you've seen happen with your family, please tell us about that, because I want people to understand that I'm not nitpicking here. This has now become a nationwide problem, and we've now got two protests happening in the country in one day in Ohio and Michigan because people are finally starting to get fed up and saying, hey, look, yeah, as I said, one sheriff said to somebody who said, wait a minute, I've got a constitutional right. We've got a constitutional right under the First Amendment to worship, and actually told the person, the governor's order suspended your rights. Oh, really? Well, it's news to me that anybody in this country is capable of suspending our rights. Only the people can vote to change those rights under the Constitution. And based upon the premise of the Constitution, even the people can't vote away the rights because God is the one who gave them to us. Let's go to Al in Texas. Al, welcome.
Bishop Jackson, hello. I talked to you before. Just want to say your show's great.
Thank you.
Reminder of you is we serve a mighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, who always was and always will be.
Amen.
Who has never been surprised. I'm with you 100% on the governor of Michigan. It sounds like there's not a recall, but they're looking into a possible recall.
Right.
Now, she, the governors of Virginia, and I guess the governors of Kentucky have truly exceeded their bounds. But one of the things I wanted to bring up was yesterday, Obama endorsed Joe Biden. And it makes you wonder what kind of shenanigans are going on behind the closed doors. Will Michelle more than likely emerge as the possible VP candidate, which we all know that Joe, if he was to be elected, could only hold that office for 3 months before they would say he is totally unfit to serve. And I just wanted to bring that up. Anyway, thank you for what you're doing. God bless you, and I'll say goodbye.
Thank you, Al. Thank you. God bless you, too. And, folks, you've heard me say many times, I have no personal hatred for Barack Obama, and that includes Michelle Obama. Never said a negative word about their children, because as far as I'm concerned, their children didn't choose to be in politics. They inherited that from their parents, and it's not fair to attack them for what their parents do. But I've disagreed vehemently with his policies. And by the way, I disagree also with his character, because I've always been convinced that Barack Obama does not love this country. I just believe that. I believe that Barack Obama is in love with himself and his ideology. I do not believe he loves America. I think he sees America as a problem in the world, not as a blessing to the world. And I think Michelle serves, she shares that same ideological perspective. Remember when she said, for the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country, and I'm thinking to myself, all the things this country has done to bless the world, and you that you can't find anything to be proud of your country about other than the fact that your husband's been elected president? Well, that was enough for me. And there's a video, you all may be able to find it, a YouTube video, and you got to look at this closely, but I'm convinced that it's accurate, in which she and Barack Obama are witnessing a parade, and it has to do with the flag. And she leans over and says to him, all of this for a blanking flag. And he looks over to her and kind of nods. And you say, well, now, you know, that's not fair. That's probably not what they said. Folks, it's consistent. Because remember, this is the presidential candidate who didn't want to put a flag lapel pin on when he was running. You all remember that? He refused to wear a flag lapel pin. And he got so much flack on it, that he explained it this way. That's not my kind of patriotism. I mean, well, because you don't have any patriotism. But he ultimately relented and put it on just to shut people up. But he didn't want to. And so it strikes me as in keeping with their attitude about our country that they would have been making denigrating words about the flag, all this for a blanking flag. Yeah. So if he chooses Michelle Obama as his running mate, if Biden does, I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. But if he does, as far as I'm concerned, that ought to be just that much more incentive for patriotic Americans to go out to the polls like a tsunami and send these people back to civilian life. So thanks very much for the call, though. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Bishop. Just kind of want to have something on my heart lately. Just kind of want to give a word of encouragement. After the last couple of weeks, I've been studying the book of Daniel. And I remember last year, your faith-based series, and talking about exercising your faith in all things and in the small things. And that way you grow your faith for the big things. And, you know, what an encouragement. You read the first chapter of Daniel. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they're given favor in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar and offered to drink the king's wine and eat the king's food. And they're under the Mosaic law. And they chose to trust in God. I mean, that's kind of a small thing. Would have been kind of easy for them to say, well, you know, it's okay if we kind of do this. Mm-hmm. And we're with the king now. And they trust
Wesley,
God.
Wesley, I know where you're going. And I wish I could let you finish the thought, but I've got to take a break. But I know exactly where you're going, Wesley, and I'll pick up on the thought when we come back.
I think we've come to believe that the Christian life is supposed to be nothing more than a deep experience of God's presence 24/7. And if that's the case, I'm missing out.
Dr. Larry Crabb on Focus on the Family Minute.
Do I experience His presence? Yes. 24/7? No. So what sustains me more in my journey to follow Christ is not my experience of God, it's my thirst for God. And when I understand that God is my greatest good, then perhaps I'll be able to realize that demanding that God cooperate with my agenda for my life, that I feel what I want to feel at every moment, that really isn't the point. It's a thirst for God until I get to heaven, where it will be 24/7, if in a timeless eternity.
Your thirst for God allows you to fully experience Him. More from Dr. Crabb at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, listen, folks, our caller from Georgia, now forgive me because I've got a lot of names in front of me. I think that might have been Brad, but who brought up Daniel and refusing to eat the king's meat. And later on, of course, he and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego ended up having to confront the fiery furnace and confront the lion's den. And he was making the point, if you use your faith in the small things, when the big things come, you're already in the habit of believing God in these various situations. That goes back to a series of messages that I preached about that very subject. So, but thanks for the encouragement, my brother, and I really do appreciate that. So, folks, look, whatever ails you or has ailed you or tries to come upon you, believe God for your healing. And when something like the coronavirus hits, you are fully ready to deal with it because you've built your faith over years of using it in all kinds of circumstances and situations. So let me not get started on a sermon. Let me come back to your calls. You've been very patient. Mark in Ohio. Mark, welcome.
Hello, sir. I'm here in Ohio, and Tom Zawistowski, who is with the Tea Party group called We the People, he's probably got his own website, he has been exposing Amy Acton, who is controlling our governor, Mike DeWine. And she has made false prediction. They call it models. They call it projections, whatever. Mm-hmm. She has made false predictions. She said it was going to peak in March. She said it's going to peak in May. She has literally said that up to 10,000 people a day in Ohio could come down with this thing. She is incompetent, and it has pushed people over the edge in this state. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're protesting, and they're demanding for her to go. And that is the one thing, is there has been so much misinformation or misleading statements or falsified data concerning this whole mess.
Yep.
I mean, people are saying, you know, this thing is so contagious, it's extremely contagious. Well, why have only 2 million people worldwide gotten it as opposed to 1.4 billion people 10 years ago that got the swine flu? That's contagious.
Thank you, Mark. Yes. Thank you. You are absolutely right.
Another thing.
Go ahead.
I think it came out 10 or 20 years ago around the time of 9/11, this phrase, this is the new normal. We need to reject that. This is the unacceptable abnormal. It is completely unacceptable. We don't need to be pacified or just, you know, be be poo-pooed and just said, now, they're there, just get used to it, this is the way it's going to be. No. By the grace of God, polio is no longer existent on this planet, isn't it?
That's
gone, right.
Right? All right. There you go, Mark. Mark, thanks for the call. Really do appreciate that. What can I say but amen to the things that you have just said, shared with us there. Let's see. Let's get to Brian in Arkansas. Brian, welcome.
Hey, brother. Three quick things. You mentioned about nurses being laid off. A gentleman that is a flight medic here in the state of Arkansas knows some people that are nurses in hospitals that are indeed being laid off. So that is correct. It's at least here in the state of Arkansas. You had a caller sometime back that was complaining about some drones following them home and hovering over their house, and so she might want to try some triple-aught buckshot to solve that problem. And the third thing, okay, real quick is you might take a few minutes and look at the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H,
yep.
Epoch Times. They did a little story, I guess. It's about an hour long, but very good information about where this has actually began and how it begins. This is not a normal virus that just continues to change and morph. It has to be something that's being put together. So anyway, great show, brother. Love you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you too, Brian. Thank you so much. And the Epoch Times, by the way, folks, E-P-O-C-H, great newspaper. They've been severely attacked. And one of the reasons they've been attacked is that they are definitely exposing what China is doing. You know, folks, at some point, I'm going to do an entire show on China, because I just finished reading a book by Stephen Mosher called The Bully of Asia. And that book was a real eye-opener for me. And one of my colleagues, Claire Lopez, has also said to me that, you know, China is a major problem for us. By the way, folks, have you seen this story on Smithfield Foods and the number of people with coronavirus for Smithfield Foods? And because they're a big multi-billion-dollar food processing company. Well, China bought them. They've been owned by Communist China since 2013. That's right. Smithfield Foods is wholly owned by Communist China. And I don't know how many other businesses around our country in the same position, folks, but this is not a good thing. They actually have control over part of our food industry. So, yeah, let's keep getting your calls in here. We've got Jewel of Tennessee. Jewel, welcome.
Hi. Yes, I would like people to please listen to this. Microwaves and radiation. We have cellular towers all around us. We have smart meters that emit high amounts of frequencies. Again, radiation and microwaves.
Okay.
When I put this on the radio last year, the man from the utility company called as soon as I got off the radio, and chewed me out from top to bottom. So I called right back on the radio. There's a reason he chewed me out. Those meters emit high amounts of frequencies.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. Well, listen, Jewel, that's not entirely on topic, but I encourage everybody to look into that. I've heard that before. I have to tell you, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but, you know, I do believe this. Ultimately, each of us is responsible for our own health and well-being. And I am a big believer that you simply don't turn your brain off because an expert speaks. So thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Jewel. Let's see. Let's go to Lisa in Texas. Lisa, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much, Bishop. I'm just so frustrated with how they're counting the death from COVID. Last year, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 gallbladder cancer. He battled it for 10 months, and it spread throughout his entire body, in his brain and eyes and everywhere. Last December, he was put into hospice and passed away 4 days later. Well, last Tuesday, Dr. Birx admitted that if this would have happened this month, he would have been counted as a coronavirus death. How is that giving us any kind of legitimate number if they count that as COVID instead of cancer?
Lisa, it's not. It's not. And I've had now three medical doctors tell me that that's the consensus. That's how we're doing it. And the last one told me, he said, I know that's not accurate. He said, but that's the consensus. And we justify it by saying, well, if you got coronavirus, it probably complicated whatever actually killed you anyway. So, and we're always told by the left, follow the science, follow the science. That's not science. That's a policy decision that misleads people. And I think to manipulate people and make people more afraid of the lethality of the virus. So, yeah, Lisa, sorry to hear about your husband, but yeah, that's unfortunately what's going on right now. So thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Lisa. Let's go to Jack in Arkansas. Jack, welcome. Jack, you're on.
Yes. Bishop, I would like to point out something that I've noticed in the last 5 days. There is, with the Democrats' overreach of power in the states, there are several of them that I've watched clips on, and there's something in their eyes that has changed. There's an emboldened defiance. And I think what we are, number one, we're battling a spirit, an entity, the Antichrist, and they're emboldened, and there's a look of defiance in their eyes that I haven't seen before. And I'm just encouraging the listeners. Number one, we pray against this. We battle this overreach in the spirit. And then we act out on it. We let people know what's going on in our local government, our state governments. And we take a course of action, and we inform our senators and representatives our desires.
And Jack, we register and we vote. If ever people in America, patriotic Americans who believe in our Constitution, believe in our way of life, and I know we're not a perfect country, but believe that we're the greatest nation on earth and the best place for people to fulfill their God-given gifts and talents and abilities. If you believe all that, you better get registered and you better vote like you've never voted before, because all of this is communicating to us that there are people in this country who would take away our liberty. And we're seeing them now acting on it because they think they have a justification for doing so. But it lets you know where they're really coming from. You know, somebody mentioned earlier, but thank you for the call, Jack. Appreciate it. Somebody mentioned earlier that this concept, the new normal. And I heard Governor Andrew Cuomo say, well, when will we return to normal? Well, no, we won't return to normal. There'll be a new normal. And remember, this is the same guy who said, with ridicule, I know he's had a couple of compliments to say about the president, but that's because the president's been funneling money and resources. But this is the guy who ridiculed the president's slogan, Make America Great Again, by saying, Make America Great Again. It was never that great. Yeah, that's Andrew Cuomo. See, these folks, they don't have the same level of appreciation for this country that many of us do, and they don't need to be in office. And at some point, I hope that Democrats, the rank and file Democrats, will wake up and realize these people aren't for them. These people are for themselves and for power. They don't want the best for the American people. They want the best perch for themselves. So, and folks, we just got to pray our way through this and encourage our fellow citizens to awaken to what's really going on around us. And of course, do what we should do to be responsible in the midst of this thing. But simply not buy into the hysteria and question. And remember, folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.